You're on 981 to an M. It's the 100% Hunter Breakfast Show. We're having a look at some of Australia's native fauna today, the broad-tooth rat in particular. Joining us to tell us all about it is Chris Wacker, postdoctoral research fellow at the School of Environmental and Rural Science, just up the road at the University of New England. Chris, how are we doing?
I'm well, thank you, Andrew. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Tell us a little bit about the broad-tooth rat.
Well, the broad-tooth rat is sort of found in your area, so it's found on the Barrington Tops and also in parts of the lowlands in Victoria and also Tasmania, of course, in Kosciuszko National Park in the Australian Alps. It's a native rat, and so a lot of Australians don't realise we do have a lot of native rodents. People think that anything that's small, grey and furry is an introduced rodent, but they're not. They're about 150 grams, so the same size as what most people think of when they think of a rat. It has beautiful chocolate-coloured fur, which is very long and soft, has little to no smell, a gorgeous little chubby face, dark feet above and below. The tail is relatively short compared to its body length, and often that's how we identify a native rodent from an introduced rodent. The introduced rodents tend to have much longer tails.
Oh.
And, yeah, and they've got a very sweet, curious personality, which possibly will be their undoing.
You seem to be quite a fan. I'll ask you about that in a moment. The first question I've got, and the most important one, is why is it called the broad-tooth rat?
They have broad, wider molar teeth, which helps them to chew the hard grasses and sedges that they eat and they live amongst.
All right. So you are quite a fan of the broad-tooth rat. How long have you been studying them?
I've only been studying them this year, so I've been a fan of native rodents for many years, and I was working with native rodents out in far western New South Wales and far western Victoria, and I just fell in love with our native rodents, and I realised how little was known about them and how little anyone sort of was working on them. So then I learned about the broad-tooth rat, and they're just so quirky from a physiological perspective. Their reproduction's really interesting. Their diet's really interesting. They're very different compared to most of our native rodents.
You mentioned a
couple. And they're also in trouble.
Well, okay, we'll get to that. You mentioned a couple of things there. What about their diet and their reproductivity? What's interesting about those?
So they're young. They only have between one and three young each litter. And so that's the problem with our native rodents as well. They don't have as many young as our introduced species. So that's why our introduced species can sometimes displace our native rodents.
Oh.
And they're also entirely herbivorous. So they only eat the grasses and sedges that they live amongst. And that's kind of unusual in native rodents because most of our rodents are omnivorous. So they're a bit more opportunistic in their diet. And this means that the broad-tooth rat is quite specialised, and so therefore that can make it a little bit more vulnerable as well.
So how endangered or vulnerable is the broad-tooth rat, Chris?
So currently they're classed as vulnerable or near threatened. And the problem with a lot of these classifications is it's based on population numbers only, typically. But these animals, they live in all these little pockets, isolated pockets, so the broad-tooth rat was once much more widespread across Australia. But then with climate change and land clearing or that sort of thing, they're now only in these little pockets. And so that makes them more vulnerable as well. So we can't just go by their population numbers. We've got to have a look at seeing how their range is contracting.
We're not hunting them or anything like that, though, are we? That's not sort of knocking their numbers down?
No, we're not hunting them. The problem is we've got land clearing. They live in areas with high rainfall, and, of course, with climate change, we're going to see less and less of their range being available. They eat these sedges and grasses, so therefore they also need high rainfall to grow. We've got introduced species such as cats and foxes which eat them, and they seem to pick the broad-tooth rat off more readily than other rodents or other animals, and whether or not it's because they're tastier or because they are more vulnerable because they are sort of tamer and they also live in little communal groups that makes them easy to pick off, we're not quite sure. And also you've got hooved animals such as horses and pigs and deer, which churn up the ground and make the different grasses grow. So the grasses that the broad-tooth rat like to eat aren't actually available.
Chris, what can we do to help our broad-tooth rat to restore those numbers perhaps?
Number one, I think the most important thing is that people have to be able to identify what is a native rodent and what is not a native rodent, especially during things like mouse plagues. So it's really important for people just to know what is around them and so what their day-to-day activities may be actually affecting. It's really important for us to appreciate that our native rodents are just as important as all the other animals that we have, all our other native species as well. And also look after our areas, look after our environment and educate ourselves.
Well, that was fascinating. Chris Wacker from the University of New England telling us all about the broad-tooth rat there this morning. Certainly learned a lot that I didn't know. Chris, thank you very much for the work that you're doing, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.